right.
We have approximately 1 hour for some tension. You want to share something or anything you all like to fellowship about? Seen quite a few things in these few days. Feel free to contribute.
I actually just have like an experience right before I got here. I dropped by Everson on the way to pick up some water, and when I was checking out, a couple behind me asked me, "Oh, you must be thirsty." So I said to them that, "Oh, this is for the church conference," and then we shared scripture that whoever drink of Jesus will not thirst again. Yeah, and I gave them our address and then invited them to come, and then I also shared with them that we are going over the sign of the second coming of Christ and the Babylon, and they actually knew the scripture. And this is my question. They actually said that we for the first 3.5 years, that's the second rapture, but the first rapture is gonna be before the first 7 years, before the last 7 years. So I'm like, really? Is that in the Bible or in Revelation? They actually tell me that like Noah. It's just like Noah.
Oh, like
just
the God. Days of Noah.
Yeah, like the day of Noah. Yeah, they told me that like God saved Noah before the flood came. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I'm not sure on that one, so I'm like, well, so I encourage them that it's no matter what, we need to be ready before his second coming,
right.
And then we depart from there because they have something to do, and it was late. Yeah, so we. From what I heard, is like when the second coming of Christ is gonna be like the end of the first 3.5 years, right? And that's when we get raptured to the judgment seat of Christ. And when I heard about this, I'm like, what? Is it really in?
Well, what did the Bible say?
I'm confused.
We have a chart for that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there, yeah, right there.
There.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bring it up.
Just follow the chart. I think we will come to that. I don't know which brother is going to share about it.
Monday morning,
okay. All right. Yeah. No, it is definitely shortly before the beginning of the great day of God's wrath, the beginning of the last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before the beginning, shortly before. Not the peace treaty.
Not before the priest, 3 years for
not
sure.
Not even just immediately after, no. So we still have the first 3.5 years.
Uh-huh.
The Bible never said anything about it.
Hmm. How did they get that?
I don't know. They get a lot of things somewhere. I don't know.
There's a lot of confusion. As it's been said before, I'm sure that...
Stand up and share something back so that everybody can hear it.
So, just shortly, I just wanted to say, and as it's been shared before, I'm sure the Lord has given us those 3.5 years of the first 3.5 years of the last seven years are really a time in which God's people can be perfected. And it's really God's mercy that he gives us the peace treaty as a sign to know absolutely sure that after that there's only 7 years left. And those first 3.5 years, there will still be an opportunity for us to be perfected. And even the disciples, that was the amount of time that it took for them to also be perfected, right? 3.5 years.
Whether they're perfected in the 3.5 years or not, we don't know.
Well, to be brought to a certain point, right?
The only thing we know about 3.5 years is that the Lord completed his work of redemption. Whether the disciples were perfected within the 3.5 years, no, we don't know. We only know that when the Lord went to the cross, everybody ran away. But there's still time. But why should we wait until the peace treaty get ready?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by the Lord's mercy, he still give us 3.5 years, but whether that is an adequate time, I really cannot tell. Nobody knows. Perhaps for those who have known the truth and have experience of the Lord, and if they intensively
mm-hmm.
trained and exercised in the last 3.5 years, perhaps they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy. Right? It's not easy. But if you perhaps cram, you know, day and night, you study for the exam for 3.5 years, you might pass the exam.
I have a question here that somebody asked back home, and just for the sake of those who are wondering, I'll just repeat the question here. This was in regard to Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read it, it sounds like there are two beasts.
Yes, there are. Not only it sounded like, but there are.
Okay, because it says here, in verse 1, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea,
yes,
having 7 heads and 10 horns,
mm-hmm.
and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads blasphemous name.
Right.
And then verse 11, it says, then I saw
another beast
coming up out of the
earth,
and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
Right.
So in our fellowship, usually we talk about the beast.
Right.
But here, in chapter 13, it talks about two beasts.
Right.
So when we talk about the beast, which one is it? And who is the second beast?
Ah.
Or who is the first beast?
Who is the second beast?
Yeah.
Well, the first beast is definitely the one that's coming out of the abyss. That is Nero. Definitely Nero. Coming out of the abyss with the number 666. The 3-6. That is the first beast. And coming out of the sea refers to this beast as from the Gentile world. Revelation chapter 17, the sea is referring to the people of the nations, the world. So coming out of the sea, on one hand, shows us that a beast is from the Gentile world. He's a Gentile. And of course, it also refers to the abyss being within the sea there somewhere. Because 17 says the beast will come out of the abyss. And in Revelation chapter 9, concerning the fifth trumpet, the stars that fell from the heavens had a key to open up the abyss. And you can really see that the abyss was open. So it is actually related to chapter 13, where the abyss is open. Now the second beast came out of the earth, not from the sea. And there the earth signifies that this person is a Jew. It's from the land, the earth signifies the Jewish people, the nation. Not from the nation, but the Jewish nation, the earth. So this beast must be a Jew. Not coming out of the sea, but coming out of the earth. So you have to find out who is the most qualified one to be the false prophet. Because in Revelation chapter 19, you have two, the beast and the false prophets, were both thrown into the lake of fire. Right? So one is a beast, the other one is a prophet, a false one. And he looks like a lamb, but spoke like the dragon. Now, according to the Bible, there are two sons of perdition. The first time the son of perdition was mentioned is in John chapter 17. That the Lord says that all that you have given to me, I have preserved except the son of perdition. And this is referring to Judas. So Judas there is called the son of perdition. Is it clear, right? That's referring to Judas. The second son of perdition, this name was mentioned again, is by Paul in Thessalonians. That lawless one. That the son of perdition will come, right, will appear. And this son of perdition is referring to the beast, the Antichrist, so to speak. So there are two, not one. There are two, but not one. So the first one is Judas. Judas is the most qualified one among all of the Jewish people to be the false prophet. First of all, because he was really one of the 12 and he knew the Lord very well. So he is most qualified. And it was mentioned in Acts chapter 1 that Judas, he hanged himself and the rope, he fell and because he died, and it says he went into his own place. All people who died, they all go to Hades. Nobody has his own special place. Okay. But this guy, this special guy, who is Judas, who is supposed to be the coming false prophet, he went to his own place. Just like Nero. Everyone who died went to Hades and to the other side of Hades, those who are unbelievers. Just like that rich man. But that guy, I don't know, there's a piece, right? That guy went to a special place. He went to the abyss to be trained. And he has been trained, and he became the Apollyon. He has another name called Apollyon in Greek, or Abaddon in Hebrews, a destroyer, and he is the king of the demons. So one went to the abyss, the other one went to his own place. So when the right time came, in Revelation chapter 13, that beast came out of the abyss, out of the sea, and that false prophet came out of the earth. So there are two, you're right. Now where he's going to get his corpse, I don't know. But I really don't care who today will be. Right, the one. Right, it's very difficult to say. Right, I don't like to predict. I have some ideas, but I don't like to predict. Because the Bible didn't say it, and so let's not say it. Right, but you can really see there are really two. So, and this beast, the second beast, the false prophet, he will cause the world to worship this beast through miracles, through lying wonders, speaking, convince people to worship the beast. So you can really see that the Lord, in chapter 11, used two witnesses, which is Moses and Elijah. And Satan imitated, also used two persons in the past. The Lord used two persons in the past, Moses and Elijah. Now, Satan also used two persons in the past, Nero and Judas. They're going to come again. They're going to appear again. Really amazing, isn't it? It's really amazing. So you can really see how terrible that time will be with the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Right. And with one third of the fallen angels there, the angels, angelic beings that are fallen, one third, cast down to this earth. And then the abyss is open, and all the demons, I don't know how many of them, must be millions and millions of them, billions. There are 6 billion people on this earth, right? Just 6,000 years, right? And who knows how many thousand years Satan ruled at that time, when before he fell. And those beings on this earth, so hey, they are going to be your neighbors. You're going to cohabit with you on this earth, share the earth with you. Not with you, of course, but with those who were on this earth. Can you imagine that? And of course, it did say in the book of Revelation, those who are at that time are practicing witchcraft and sorceries and all those violence, killing, murders, and all that. You know, it's an age of lawlessness. Lawlessness will rule, will prevail and take the upper hand. And those who are on this earth, instead of repenting, they do not. They hated, they cursed God, and did not repent of their sorceries, can you imagine? What do you think these evil angels, these evil spirits and demons are going to teach those people on this earth? They're going to practice the black magic. There's a lot of crazy things that will be happening on this earth. So you have to get ready to go up there. There's no other choice. The only way to escape is to go up there, to be raptured. It's not good to meet either one of them, the beast or the false prophet or the dragon, of course, and all the hosts. Clear and to the point. So, amen, right? Okay. Judas will come again.
Common question is, when we are sharing concerning
science. Stand up so that everybody can hear.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I get periodically is, as we share concerning the signs of the time, and particularly the events related to Israel, the signing of the peace treaty, and then now even more clearly regarding the one who will broker this peace treaty, we're so precise. Doesn't it also say in Matthew 24 that we would not know the exact day or the time? But if you're saying the peace treaty is signed, then you know in 7 years, and if God is precise in 7 years, then does that mean then we are really saying we know the exact day or time? It's a question I get asked.
No, we don't. Do you know when the peace treaty is going to be signed?
No.
Okay, so you don't know, and neither do I.
But if you know, but if the peace treaty gets signed on a certain day, then we have.
Yes, then we know. Then the whole world will know. Just like when the ark is finished, then the flood will come, the raindrop begins. But before the ark is finished, nobody knows. Even Noah didn't know when the last nail and everything. Well, I don't know if there's going to be a nail or not. But the whole thing will be finished. It says as soon as Noah and the family went into the ark, that was the time when Methuselah died. exactly that time, but nobody knows when he's going to die, right?
Right.
But when he dies, then everybody knows that the rain starts. So when the peace treaty signs, then we know the last 7 years. That is when we know. Only at that time you will know. Before that, nobody knows the day, the hour, not even the month, not even the year that peace treaty is going to be signed. Nobody knows, do you? Nobody knows. Even if you, let's say, know that who this person is, but still you don't know when he is going to do it. In the beginning, or in the middle, or in the second term, nobody knows. But you know now is the season. But the day, the hour, nobody knows. You don't know. But once that is signed, then you know. The last 7 years. The beginning of the Bible told us, 42 months. Right? 42 months, 1,260 days. That's the last half. And then, of course, Daniel told us seven years, 1 week. So the Bible tells us that time. That we know. But when it's going to happen, peace treaty signed, there we don't know. But the Bible already indicated very clearly when the peace treaty is signed is 1 week. That we know. That doesn't mean that I know when that 1 week is going to begin. I don't know. Nobody knows. Not even the angels. Hey, don't ask the angels. Tell me the secret. The angels will tell. The secret is, I don't know. Because nobody knows. Not even the angels in heaven.
So the follow-up question would that be, let's say April 1st, 2019 is the peace treaty signed. Then do we count 7 years later?
Yes, from that day on, 7 years.
So April 1st of 7 years later would be the time Christ would come.
Right, right.
You should ask what's your intention for wanting to know.
Well, it's not wanting to know. It's because Matthew 24 says that no one will know the exact day or time.
Exactly. We don't know the exact day or time. Nobody knows.
Right. But after the signing, it'll be 1,260 days.
No.
Exactly.
No. After the signing is the last 7 years.
Yeah,
Daniel says the last 7 years. And the day, the great day of God's wrath is 42 months. The time, two times, and half a time, 3.5 years, 42 months. That is sure. So we can be sure when the 3.5 years, last 3.5 years is going to start. You can be very sure. You can calculate it with your computer, with your Apple, that you can calculate. Because the Lord already told you. He will make a treaty for 1 week. And so 1 week is 7 years. That's how we know it's 7 years, because the Lord told you. But when that 7 years is going to start, nobody knows the hour, the day, not even a month, you don't know. So that is what we don't know. But what we need to know, the Lord already told us. For sure, if the treaty is signed, it's 7 years. You know, it's just amazing, because in 1992 or 93, I think, it was in 1993, when Rabin and Arafat signed the treaty, the agreement, it was for 7 years. It's amazing. Not five, not four, not eight, not nine, not ten, but for 7 years. And it was really an amazing, it's like a rehearsal. And in 1995, that poor guy was shot, assassinated. Rabin was killed. And so, but at the end of that 7 years, for 4 days and four nights, Clinton and Netanyahu and Arafat spend day and night trying to see if they can finalize that treaty that could, it all fell apart. But at least we know now why 7 years. Because they couldn't agree on everything. So, okay, let us sign and the point that we agree, we start with the point we agreed. And then for 7 years, we work toward agreeing everything. At the time, 7 years is finished, and hopefully we agreed on everything. But why seven, right? It is as if they knew Daniel chapter 9. But of course they didn't, right? But you can realize that the Lord has given us already indications. But we know that was not the peace treaty. And it was done secretly, actually. But then it was made known when it was made in Norway. It was made secretly in Norway. So you can realize that somehow God is very humorous. Give us some ideas of a treaty with 7 years. But it has been done, except there was nothing said about offering of sacrifices, nothing about Jerusalem, nothing about anything like that. So of course that was another treaty. So, but when it is signed, you know, it is 7 years.
So they don't need the temple to be rebuilt?
Actually not.
Yeah.
Actually. It's impossible.
Because they can't do it in that short period.
No, not only they can't do it in that short period, it's so complicated. It is so complicated.
So they only need an altar?
Let me tell you. When the Jews in the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, the remnant went back to Jerusalem from Babylon after 70 years of captivity. They went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And before it was even built up, they just laid the foundation. They firstly built the altar and started the sacrifices. Without the temple, nothing there. But the sacrifice was the most important thing for them. So they really don't need it. It's not possible. Plus at that time, in the last 3.5 years, there's so much trouble there and so which temple are they going to build? They are talking about building the third temple.
But there has to be one for the millennial kingdom.
Yes, but only when the King of Kings came down, and that's not a problem. That's not a problem if the King comes down and Jerusalem, according to Zechariah, Jerusalem, that place is going to come up, and then all around Jerusalem is going to be like a plain. It's going to flatten. So you're going to build something there, all of a sudden Jerusalem rises and the other one go down and everything is going to fall down, right? So it is, they're not going to build. And it's not necessary. They will probably, if at all, just build up a tabernacle, just like in the wilderness. And they don't need a big space. just half of this meeting hall, you know, the length layer and the here and that's it.
But it has to be in the right place, right?
Yeah. It has to be in the right place. So you'd be surprised where the right place is.
Where the mosque is.
So that will let them worry about it. We don't have to worry about that. God has his way. So we really do not have to, we don't need to speculate. Right? We don't need to speculate. Because to build a temple, let's say, like the temple of Solomon, God is not going to stay there. It's meaningless. Okay? If at all, if they're going to build something, they must build the third temple, which they have not done before. It's not possible. So, we'll see what happens. Don't worry, just wait until the time the peace treaty is signed.
And get ready.
And then you'll find out. But for us, we are the living tabernacle. We are the true tabernacle that the Lord is building, and that is more important than anything else. Peter told about the living stone, about the spiritual house, the holy and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we are the royal priesthood. We are the special treasure. We are the holy nation. This is important. This is important. So when the Messiah comes, that building of Ezekiel will be very simple. Because they still have to recalculate the good land according to Ezekiel, and then the plan for the third temple to be built. And then, you know, you remember the Ezekiel plan, right? amazing. It's an amazing plan. So we'll wait for the Messiah to decide. Let the king decide when he wants his palace and his throne to be built. Amen. Because you have to realize in the last 3.5 years, especially at the end, there will be a big earthquake even in that great city. Which great city is he talking about? New York? Berlin? Or Los Angeles? Lagos? Which great city do you think?
Zion, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. And at that time, the Mount Olive was split into two. Can you imagine that? And if the temple is built, it's all going to collapse there.
The temple.
Right. So you need to put all the word of the prophets written there all together, then you will really find out. But definitely that temple is going to be built. No doubt. The question is at what time? What time? And so there in the last 3.5 years, even the animal sacrifices that they are offering is just a sign, because it is not the offering yet that God really wants. Can you imagine even that great city of Jerusalem, according to chapter 11 of Revelation is like spiritually Sodom and Egypt. It is very scary. Can you imagine how so much money might be poured in? And the rich Jews there. Because the whole world will be supporting that, and everybody will be celebrating peace, right, in the last 7 years. And so that great city will become like Sodom and Egypt. Very difficult for us to understand today. So you have to put all these things together in the scripture. Entire picture. Is it understandable? Does it make sense? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Amen? It should make sense, right? So many of the things, what's going to happen, let us just wait one thing at a time. Right now, for us, the most important thing is neither this nor that, but peace in the Middle East. And this is what the present administration is aiming for. And I just read in the news early this morning, which actually was yesterday, Trump says, just wait, UN will be completely different when he became the president. So he's going to change everything. How? I don't know. But I think somebody's going to support him. The one sitting on the throne. So all things are possible with God.
So given the very precise 7 years, then we can also pretty much say, when the peace treaty is signed, we have 3.5 years before the end of the gospel of salvation. Right?
Yes, then the still yes. That 3.5 years, the new covenant is still valid.
Right. But just for 3.5 more years.
Exactly.
Right.
So what you want to do in this 3.5 years, it's up to you.
After that, no more chance.
But don't wait until the last 3.5 years begins.
Right.
Start now. Why wait?
Yeah.
Right? Why wait?
Exactly.
We need to gain the practice, the priesthood. Learn all of these things. If they don't want, people don't want, okay, what can we say, right? But if we realize in our heart that this is what the Lord wants us to do, let's do it. We're not forcing anyone. We're not condemning anyone if they don't want to do it. I don't condemn anyone. It's not my business. Right? Our business is to do the will of the Father in heaven. And as long as we are doing his work, it's good enough. Whether people agree or not, it does not matter. I'm not going to quarrel with anyone who doesn't want to do it. Are you? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't want to make any enemies, do you? I don't want to criticize anybody. They don't want to do it. But if they oppose, then I have something to say, okay. But if they leave you alone, then leave them alone. Right? We like to share with those who are inquiring, who would be open. And may the Lord give us wisdom and a proper word and understanding to share with them in a way that they will understand and not to run away from you because, oh, you've got strange ideas, right? but we take the grace of the Lord, like the Lord when he came to this earth, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. When we speak the truth to our friends, then full of grace and truth as well. So that they will not scare them to death. Hopefully they have a strong heart. Otherwise I have to take George with me just in case. So we need to be full of grace and full of light and full of love as well. To learn from the Lord. And this is what Paul says, let your word be full of grace and yet seasoned with salt. Not just seasoned with salt, but no grace. It'll be too salty. Nobody can taste it. It'll be too salty. And no, not just with grace and no salt. Many times we are like that. Right? So need to learn. Amen. Any more sharings or questions?
I know the evening meetings is talking about preparing for the Lord's second coming.
Yes.
So is really the only thing that we're needing to do is to perfect the priesthood?
And well, you wait till tonight. But a priesthood is very important. But you have to realize that a priesthood comprises so many areas. And not just doctrinally, but the priesthood is very substantial and full of reality. It's not just okay, you know, just like in religion, okay, you learn to be a priest just to do something. You're not here just to do something. No. So if you can see the whole picture of the priesthood, you can realize that, wow, the priesthood truly is all-inclusive. Concerning this wonderful Christ. So we need to know what the priesthood really is. And it's called the holy priesthood. It has to be holy. And then it's called royal priesthood. That means it will prepare you to be a king. That's why it's called royal. It is very important to see that. This is the original plan of God, is to have a kingdom of priests.
So if it took the priests in Leviticus 5 years trained to begin to offer, will it, spiritually speaking, also be 5 years?
It depends on you. Some takes 50 years and still didn't graduate. Right. Normally it takes how many years to graduate? 4 years. Some takes 40 years. Some takes 8 years. Some went to university for 10 years and still didn't graduate, and some don't graduate. Right? So, it's hard to say. But normally, like Paul said in his writing, First Corinthians, to the believers, I gave you milk to drink. That means the first time when he went there. In chapter 3, he says, but now you still cannot bear solid food. And between his first visit to the first time he wrote, you can calculate how many years. Maybe 5. They should have matured, they should have been able to really take in solid food. With the babies, when they were born, they cannot take solid food. But after 3 years, 2-3 years, they begin to take some solid food. But the saints in Corinthians, in Corinth, couldn't take it. So it depends whether you really want to go on or not. You see, the condition of the churches are different. The church in Thessalonica, the church there is really going on quite strongly and fast. The growth is very fast. They overtook some churches who were older than they. They became the example to the churches. But then don't be too happy too fast, because you may grow very good in the first 3-5 years, but then you go downhill. You can fall. That's why you hold fast what you have, otherwise you become Laodicea. Right? You should not believe that if we were the church a few years ago, now we are still and forever will be the church. I wish. I have seen so many churches in my life disappeared. And it's still disappearing. And not only churches, of course, many saints, they come and they go. They come and go. Throughout the last 50 years, personally, I've seen so many of them. So individually and also as churches, we can come and go. He just mentioned a church in Ephesus. The name Ephesus means desirable, very desirable. That's the first church when it was built by the Lord himself, right? Pouring out the Holy Spirit. And the apostles were there. They were very desirable. But not long after, they lost. I just lost the Lord. Didn't say you lost. The Lord says you left. If you lose it, you may not have done it intentionally. Oh, you misplaced it. I misplace my watch very often. Not intentionally. But if I throw it into the trash can, that's intentional. They left the first love. That means they went down, and in the book of Acts, or First Timothy, right, Paul says, all the churches left me in Asia. And then already in John, we'll talk about degradation. And he ended up in Patmos. And Peter and Jude and James, my goodness, the language they use. scary. Strong languages to really describe and rebuke false prophets, the situation in those days. So you should not think that ones who become the church will forever be the church. No such thing. No such thing. You can say, I'm standing on the ground, yeah, but you can stand there until you pass away. It doesn't matter. So, praise the Lord.
And then the last question is always asked. Well, right now we have the children's meeting during the conference, and we have very many young children. Let's just say the Lord comes to take the first fruit in the next 7 years. Some of them will only become like 7, 8, or 9 years old. What would happen to them?
The Lord says, let the little ones come to me, for such is
the kingdom of heaven.
Who knows, the Lord may have taken them and not me. The Lord didn't say that the grandpa, such is the kingdom. The Lord says the children, and you have to be converted like little children. Don't grow old like a grandpa. You grow old like a grandpa, you're in trouble. Be converted and be like a little child in order to enter into the kingdom. Unless you are converted and be like one of these little ones, you can by no means enter into the kingdom. I'm not concerned about them, I'm concerned about grandma. Concerned about me entering into the kingdom. But of course we should also pray for our children. Bring them to the Lord. Right to the Lord says, don't let the little children come to the Lord. And the disciples never got it. Because after the Lord told them, because the disciples were fighting, who is the greatest among them, right? The Lord brought a little child and says, unless you become like him, you're not going to get anything. Don't talk about who's going to be the greatest. You won't be able to even enter in, okay? Let alone to be great. And then a couple of chapters later, some parents are bringing the children, they're no, wait, don't come here. Don't bother the master. They didn't learn. And the Lord has to stop them and say, let the little children come to me, and the Lord bless them. For such, he repeated again, for such is the kingdom of the heavens. So do not look down on any brother or sister. Don't look down. Because they will enter into the kingdom before you do. Or what are you going to do? Right? Yeah.
Question. So, during the time of the millennial kingdom, the nations will continue on.
Yes.
Will they continue having children as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's why at the end of the millennial kingdom, for 1,000 years, those rebellious ones are so many as the sand in the seashore, rebelling against God, against Christ, because they still were sinful. They are not saved like we. But they are qualified to be nations because they accepted and they listen and obey the eternal gospel. But it doesn't mean that they're saved, sins forgiven like we are. There's no more. The gospel of grace is over. That's why the angels can preach that eternal gospel. The angels do not have the right to preach our gospel. So don't say, I cannot preach the gospel. I don't have a mouth. I don't know how to speak. So I'll ask Gabriel, come, would you please do the job for me? Gabriel will tell you, sorry, I'm not qualified. So that gospel in the last 3.5 years, the eternal gospel preached by the angel is a different gospel than what we are preaching today. It says, fear God and worship him who created the heavens and the earth, not who died for you on the cross. No more. That is over. And don't worship the beast. And don't take the marks of the beast. That's it. That was the gospel then. That is the eternal gospel. Why is it called the eternal gospel? Because from eternity to eternity, God is God, and he created everything, and everyone has to fear him and worship him. That's why it's the eternal gospel.
So will there also be people that die in that moment?
Yeah, they should. Yeah. Of course, because death has not been thrown into the lake of fire. But they will live to the max of whatever the life span decided by the Lord. Because they will not live like, you know, Methuselah, 969 years.
So they may not be able to make it to new heaven and new Jerusalem.
Some will, the remaining ones will. So those who remained, they are really blessed, right? Because then in the new heaven and new earth, the leaves of the tree of life will be for the healing of the nations. That's why at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan is going to be released again from the abyss to lead the last rebellion. That means there are still a lot of rebellious ones. Especially the second, third generation, fourth generation, they didn't know, right?
Yeah.
Like today, the millennial, whatever you call them. Absolutely no idea about history.
Exactly.
First World War, Second World War. Right? They don't know. They don't know anything. They again repeated the history. They are repeating the history. So the same thing during those millennial kingdoms. That is why you need an iron rod, not a stick. A stick will not hurt anybody. Hold an iron rod like a kung fu master, except it's not a wood. A piece of iron, you're going to smash them like a potter. And many of them will be smashed. Where do you think they'll go when they're smashed? They'll go to Hades. And there won't be two sides of Hades anymore. There's only one part of Hades. The second part is closed. Out of business.
Empty.
Amen. Amen. Right. Only in a new heaven and new earth, death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. And then Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. And all those rebellious ones will be thrown into the fire. And then those who are still the faithful ones, they will continue. And then all the dead will rise, and there's a great white throne of judgment. according to chapter 20 of Revelation. Amen.